Command number 68. Do not pray ostentatiously and with empty phrases. In praying, do not heap up empty phrases, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Matthew 6:7. This is a very interesting and seriously convicting command, and one mostly ignored by the vast majority of Christendom's churches. For what are most church prayers but memorized dissertations, aimed vaguely in God's direction, but recited in unison from a prayer book, or composed in advance to sound lofty, pious, and compassionate for each other's benefit? In their publicly read prayers, our pastors and priests make sure that every possible base of prayer need is covered, seemingly directing their laundry lists more to the congregation than to God. And which of us have not participated in prayer meetings and uttered the stock words of prayer appropriate in times of sickness, financial need, relational stress, spiritual trial, and decision-making uncertainty? Every group and sect in church and Christendom has its own lexicon of prayer jargon. And how many millions the world over pray with the rosary, in direct violation of this command, using memorized phrases and thinking they will be heard for their many words? Where have all these traditions of the prayer book, the pastoral prayer, the rosary, and prayer meeting phraseology originated? Certainly not in the red letters. I am as guilty of these misdirected so-called prayers as anyone. I am aghast to read Jesus' words and realize how often I have prayed exactly as He commands us not to, with empty phrases and many words. I have used the stock phrases and the familiar verbiage on occasions too numerous to count. In a circle of prayer, I grow uncomfortable with the heavenly hush. It is difficult to listen in the silence, to attune oneself to the still small voice that may be trying to speak. It is far easier to begin babbling in what we call prayer, but is more accurately the heaping up of many words that drowns out the divine whispers that would speak to the heart. If I was lost on a desert island, alone with no one but God, how different would my prayers be? Would I pray prayer book prayers? Would I pray memorized prayers? Would I sit down to compose my prayers beforehand, making sure they sounded lofty, illustrious, and holy, and then stand and with pious intonation, increased volume, and appropriate hand gestures, turn my face upward and read my composition? If my prayers would be different on a desert island than in church or a prayer meeting, then the question is self-evident. Who am I praying for? Or perhaps, who am I praying to? The word ostentatious comes from Luke 18:11-13, where Jesus compares the prayers of two men. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank Thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Let us not too quickly dismiss the applicability of the lesson. Jesus usually uses extreme examples to drive home his point. Our own pomposity in prayer will not be so absurdly visible as this. Ostentation in religion is as easy to perceive as it is to disguise. But Jesus' final words, Luke 18:14, rip the mask from both those who try to hide what they are but can't, as well as those who successfully veil their self-righteousness. every one who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. The following is an excerpt from Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline, pages 35 and 40. The prayer of faith presupposes that the prayer of guidance is perpetually ascending to the Father. We must hear, know, and obey the will of God. There is a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we may be thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of external affairs. But deep within, behind the scenes, at a profounder level, we may also be in prayer and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. T. Kelly, A Testament of Devotion, pages 125 and 35. God, bring to my remembrance this day the command of Jesus not to pray with empty phrases. May my heart's prayers be always and only directed to you, and you alone. Thus, Heavenly Father, may I be an instrument in my small corner of the world for the ultimate salvation of mankind. Amen. From the Commands by Michael Phillips, read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase the Commands and other books by Michael Phillips.